Why Does This Thing Exist?
Podcast.
Why Does This Thing Exist? Podcast.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Keep it formal this week. I thought I'd keep it nice and respectful of the listener. They put up a lot. They deserve consideration.
They do, actually. They're very good.
Yes.
I've got to say, this episode's gone off to a dreadful start, dude.
It has, Simon, it has.
Please pull it back from the brink.
Yes, well,
30 listeners, seconds in.
Yes, well, I feel like there might be a lot of brinks in this one.
Yeah.
Listeners, welcome to another episode of the podcast, Why Does This Thing Exist? Brackets podcast. For myself, Dean Burnett, and my good friend Simon, show each other things from modern life which confuse us, and we try and debate the reasons as to why they exist. Often fail, but we make a spirited effort of it, I'd like to think.
Oh, aye, hell of an effort. Christ, you can't fault us for trying.
No, you can't. You can fault anything else about us, but not our efforts we put into explaining random things.
What is it you're going to show me this week, please, Dean?
Well, Simon, this is actually a very, very, very last-minute entry to my cachet of things to show Simon. It's a very topical one.
Topical.
Because we are recording this, listeners, dear listeners, during the Easter holidays, 2024. It's currently a few days before, it's the day before Good Friday, isn't it? So, Easter very, very prevalent in the surrounding world. So I'm just going to show you an Easter thing, which I recently encountered yesterday in a shop.
Right.
I would like you to do your best to help me get to the bottom of why this exists.
It's... Reese's eggs.
Yeah.
Chocolate Reese's eggs.
Well, it's basically one of those little sort of, dispenser, like a cardboard container where you can just, place next to the self-service checkout in my local Sainsbury's. And it's basically a big sort of box of eggs. So you just take one out and buy them individually. And that's fairly straightforward. It's quite a common thing, putting sweets and stuff next to the tills. That's, tailors all the time, as far as shops are concerned. What caught my eye is the attempt at some sort of humorous presentation here. We're looking a bit closer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This Easter, egglect peanut butter. Right. Now, I saw this in part, and I was just reading as I went past with my son, because we were just doing a bit of last-minute shops on the way back from somewhere else. I thought I must have misread it.
Yeah.
Egglect... It isn't a word, right? I'm not going mad there. Egglect isn't a phrase or term I've ever come across before.
Neglect is a word.
Well, yeah. The first one I thought, they said neglect peanut butter. That seems like quite the opposite message that Reese's, the peanut butter confection company, would want to give across. Oh, I thought it was a very, very contrived pun on select peanut butter. I thought it's seglect. No, that doesn't work either. Like egglect? No, that doesn't work at all. You know, like I know... Everyone tries to put an egg pun in the Easter merchandise. We look a bit closer. The picture of the Reese's egg on the box, he's got a rosette and he's next to a little lectern. So it's elect peanut butter.
Yeah.
So they've gone for a politics theme. And my question is, why?
Two possible reasons.
Mm.
This is reason one. They've taken a chance on there being a general election, because there's going to be a general election in the UK and there's going to be a presidential election in America this year.
True. Yes, that's true.
Either they've taken a punt and this is UK only advertising, and they thought, well, they're bound to call it an election earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's going at the moment, yeah, probably 50-50, it could be any day. They're not, there's no sort of guaranteed time. So, okay, I'll give him the quasi-uncertainty around when the election is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it was all printed out, it was all made, so they thought, oh, well, we may as well use it.
Yeah.
Who's going to even notice? They're just going to cram the eggs in their faces, aren't they, the pigs?
I guess there's that.
British chocolate pigs. Do they even know what this is? They didn't even have Reese's not long ago. Now we've got to, they love it so much, we've got to put boxes of it next to the tills.
Yeah.
They can run in as quickly as they can, scan the eggs and shuffle back to soiling themselves in the street. That's what the American advertisers were thinking.
Okay.
Or
possibility one, yeah, okay.
Or possibility two, they weren't doing UK target marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that they've just brought in from America, much like the rest of the Reese's fare. And in America, these boxes of election eggs have been out all year and will continue to be out until the election in November.
Well, that's possible.
What do you think about that? Is that worse?
I think that might be... But I agree with that. If it wasn't for the fact, it's, you know, it seems to be specifically an Easter-themed product. American elections are in November, but I know they start... You know, it's basically a year-round affair, isn't it? I mean, based on American politics, it seems like they campaign for 4 years, and then they have the election, and they start all over again.
I think the chocolate, peanut butter-filled chocolate egg is a year-long prospect in America as well, Dean, not just the elections.
Maybe. But this particular box says Easter, so I'm going with it's a...
It does say Easter. I take it back.
I go with it. It's a seasonal product.
Yeah, that seems to rule out the American angle then. I think this is... This is something specifically for us.
But do they think, like, you know, people are going to really be really focusing on those local elections in May? Easter time. So we better sort of, you know, create our merchandise or marketing materials to tie in with that, because that's all anyone's going to be talking about.
The May elections are a month after Easter. Easter exactly, is long forgotten now. We're quickly moving on to Christmas products.
Yeah, but even... The fact that I even consider that as a possibility shows how tenuous this is. I think these sort of things, like, tend to be very obvious. You know, when they have an egg pan in something, it's been, I shouldn't have to sort of think about it for more than 10 seconds, let alone like a day and a half later. And the fact is, I saw this. I thought, hang on. I walked back to look at it.
Made your son stand outside and wait.
No.
Tied him up to the railing. There was a bowl of water there for him. That's fine. No, just push a couple of dogs out of the way.
We were walking towards the self-service checkout. I had the basket. I doubled back to get a photo of this with the message clear on it. But it was like 5:30. It was like post-work rush. So I was actually holding up a big queue to get this photo of an egg logo. And my son was like, Dad, come on. Dad, there's people waiting, Dad. And people thinking, this guy really loves those eggs.
Did you shout at everybody, I'm a journalist and I'm giving a valuable service?
Yeah, I'm the one guy with a phone taking photos of things in public. Everyone who does that is clearly credible and has a real good reason to be doing so.
This is investigative journalism.
Yes, I'm known for it, actually. Are you familiar with Air Fryer Month? No? I was on the keyboards.
Getting back to the egg, though, Dean.
Yeah.
I've never noticed before that it's got a little beak on it and a little set of eyes.
Yeah.
Is that new?
I don't know. I think it's the same wrapper. It's one of those ones you don't really pay that much attention to, isn't it? You just pick them up and unwrap it. Because the foil wrapping tends to be kind of hit and miss a lot of the time anyway.
Like, yes.
Sometimes the barcode's crinkled and, because obviously a flat sheet doesn't go on an egg perfectly.
Yeah.
But for part of me thought, this is that egg-lect peanut butter. I thought, oh, maybe it is like something mentioned before. Remember that Walkers did that big campaign to vote for the new flavour?
That's right. Peanut butter.
And I thought, maybe it's part of a campaign to pick which egg is the best one. But this is Reese's. They only do peanut butter. That's their thing.
Yes, exactly. What else are they going to put in there? Dust?
The dreams of others.
So. Yeah. This Easter, egg-lect a whole chocolate egg. And hollow. What's the opposite of hollow, Dean?
Full?
Solid? Yeah, yeah. So. Solid egg.
I'd be okay with that. I have no objection to that as a concept. There's a big chocolate egg. Lovely. Do you ever have that as a kid? I remember being really young thinking Easter eggs were hollow. Weren't hollow?
No, I never thought that because I'd experienced eating them.
No, sorry. I remember thinking you could get not hollow ones. I thought, I thought maybe like once in a while you get lucky and get a proper solid mass of chocolate.
I do like that idea.
Yeah.
You were just the poor unfortunate boy that never got a whole egg.
Yeah. I thought it was like a Swiss or something. Like, someone's got a proper lot of, like, picking up. But you couldn't disguise it because you pick up this Easter egg is a lot heavier than most. It's just like 12 times the mass.
I always dreamed of having a cream egg with the cream egg filling inside a big one. You know what I mean?
Oh, an Easter egg, yeah.
That didn't make much sense, but yeah.
No, exactly what you mean, because you thought of having an Easter egg which was full of cream egg filling.
Like, yeah, I would have loved to have had that.
A cream egg of Easter egg proportions. I mean, that'd be great.
I'd go for it now. I think it'd be so decadent that I could just ascend to heaven directly after eating it.
Would that be like your last meal?
It would actually,
Desperate. Right. Last meal. I don't want any food, meat or anything. I just want a cream egg for the size of any string.
That's it. I've been sentenced to death for something which really drew favour from the Cadbury's Corporation. So they were willing to grant me this one day in wish. I wonder what that could have been.
Yeah, maybe he just took out Nestle in a sort of like fiery explosion. Cadbury's market share has gone through the roof all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to do that, Cadbury's, if you're listening. Just name the price.
All right, maybe you assassinated Reese's on the podium, like JFK style.
Oh, yeah.
During the election.
This egg election, don't go to Dallas, Reese's egg.
I'm warning you. Oh, Christ. Yeah, so like this, I don't mean, it also just seems so clunky because it's not egglect. I didn't know what word that was to start off with. Because
I think it would have been better to have elegged.
See, that works better. Elegged. Like, it's still a little clunky, better than this.
Yeah.
You could have said elect peanut butter. I mean, that would have made as much sense as this.
Yeah, elect peanut brackets egg butter.
Peanut egg butter. Oh, that sounds vile.
This Easter, egglect peanut egg brackets butter.
I remember when I first heard about peanut butter as a thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, my mother said she would get some. Because I think you remember hearing about Americans on TV saying, oh, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and stuff. I thought, oh, peanut butter. And I remember she brought it home. And I go, oh, that's weird. Because I thought it was just like a tub of flora with peanuts embedded in it. Just like actual just butter with nuts in it. And I don't know why I thought that would be better. It doesn't sound good. I just assumed that's what it would be. And was disappointed.
You could have just pushed some nuts into some butter yourself. Yeah. You lived in a pub.
It just occurred to me now that I had that option the whole time. I could have just done that. I can do it now if I want. Yeah. I'm a 41-year-old man. I'm allowed to get some nuts and some butter. And combine the two in some old ungodly experiment. Should I see fit to do so?
Imagine daytime drinking in the pub that your parents owned. Yeah. Then you just sat in the bar on your own, the horse racing's on the telly, yeah, £4 in. And a strange little boy comes into the room, starts pushing nuts into butter.
Yeah. In my head, my mother walks in the kitchen like between like lunch and dinner hour and just finds me in there. Just turn my head. She just closes the door and walks out. Just leaves me to my devices.
Just hear the splashing of petrol going around the pub.
We tried.
Back to the egg, Dean.
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for an egg to be president and or prime minister? What about your local MP?
Oh, God, I try to think of a terrible egg pun to respond with. But all I can think of was I'd have to see their flanifesto, because flan's a sort of egg-based in some way. I don't know even. That's the only thing I can think of.
So no, that's a no then.
No,
is it?
Not really.
Not really.
I guess what egg are we thinking about? Is it that egg of the Simpsons who was part of the Stonecutters? I mean, he seems like he's got connections. Dizzy the egg? I vote for Dizzy the egg.
Dizzy the egg,
The nostalgia vote.
What's Chucky egg?
I don't know. I've heard that. I think it's some sort of regional mascot thing. I think it's from like the 80s era of when different parts of the UK had different TV channels, and Chucky egg was a thing from one of those, but we didn't have it.
Okay, yeah.
Although I've heard Welsh people mention it, so maybe we did have it. I just never saw it.
Well, I'm not voting for him anyway.
No, he's mysterious. You know?
Yeah.
He's the power behind the throne, isn't he? Because obviously we've heard of him. We've heard rumours of him. He's like the Bilderberg group. Bilderberg group.
Bilderberg group, yeah.
The Bilderberg group. Yeah, I'll build an MP. Stuff it full of eggs. Vote for that. Yeah. Crack on,
Dean.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
There we are. Fantastic. We managed to think of one accidentally. Yeah. What are you going to give this weird advertising campaign, Dean?
I'll give it 2 because I actually have tried the eggs. They're actually quite nice, if you like peanut butter. But no, other than that, I think it's just it's got the vibe of, you know, there's a big meeting, the marketing people got together, Like it was like took like 4 or 5 hours, and at the end of it, someone actually had to say to them, "This is genuinely the best we got. We don't have we've been here for ages, and this is nobody's got a better idea." Christ. So you know, I'll give those people a point as well. But other than that, I think it's a misfire. 2 points for me.
I'm going to give it 2 as well. I like the egg. I would vote for it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, who's running this competition? Obviously, we've got the cream egg, which I think is
Well,
up.
just the Labour Party, the Conservatives, and the Lib Dems.
So, which ones?
I'd probably vote for Plaid still, but it'd depend on the candidate.
Right. I was thinking, what other eggs are you up against? Or are you thinking
Oh, no, it's
the
just
egg's
running
actually running
for.
in a normal
Yeah.
election?
Yeah, it's running his normal election,
It's got strong protest candidate vibe about it, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, his policies are sounding. He wants to redistribute wealth and invest in infrastructure. I'm going to go along with it myself.
All right, cool. We'll never get in the first past the post, and it screws everyone over in the end.
Who's past the post thinking of a pen? First past the egg. Welcome back, listeners. I hope you enjoyed your break there. So let's stick to the Easter theme, Dean.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Easter special.
Yes, Easter special. It's only 4 days late. It's
We have risen.
we have risen to bring you some breaking news about eggs. And this, Dean, do you like ice cream, Dean?
Do one of the few. I'm not a big sweet tooth guy, but ice cream is one of those ones I have a weakness for. So yes, ice cream, thumbs up from me.
So this might be of interest to you, Dean. Here it comes. It's a very expensive ice cream sundae, Dean. It's called the frozen haute chocolate, as in haute couture. In 2007, it was invented, and it cost $25,000 per serving.
Jesus Christ Almighty. Okay.
I've got a couple of videos about it.
Okay,
Here comes the first one. This one's going to show us how it gets made.
Next dessert is the $25,000 frozen oat chocolate. In a blender, take about a cup of
So we got a
milk,
cup of
and
milk.
then as the base of the dessert, we use Serendipity's famous frozen hot chocolate
Oh,
mix,
yeah, I
a
should say at
blend of
this point.
14
Press
different
pause.
cocoas.
The restaurant that does this is called Serendipity 3. It's in New York.
Right.
Apparently, it's famous. A lot of celebrities go there.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
Find 14 additional cocos, the rarest, most expensive cocos from around the world.
So that's Lion Bar, Cocoa, Galaxy,
Reese's Pieces,
Africa, South America, where the
Aldi own
beans are
brand.
now probably three times the price that they were 4 months ago. We might have to change the price to $25,999 if the prices keep going up.
Yeah, you're a fine one to talk about the prices like that,
Is he
not really.
complaining about the price of ingredients? Fuck off, mate.
We also use the world's most expensive truffle.
Okay.
Is that a chocolate
For
truffle or like the
theatrics,
mushroom truffle
more
that
gold.
picks up?
I
And
thought,
then here
yeah,
we
I would have
have
assumed
the
mushroom for a
frozen
second.
oat
Clearly
chocolate.
not.
There it is. It's got loads of fake gold.
Okay.
So it's basically a lot of whipped cream, 14 different types of cocoa powder, and some ice cream that they've made.
Yeah, but also
Sounds a lot.
gold on top. I mean,
Oh,
just.
yeah, oh, plenty of edible gold, which is one of the most ridiculous things anyway.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I think, I don't know how else to put this, but it seems like cheating. I think I'm going to make the most expensive dessert possible. I'm just going to wrap it in gold. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, any food, like I can make the most expensive, like bacon sandwich and just like, slap a load of diamonds on it. Well, yeah. I don't know. It feels like a cop out, but anyway, doesn't matter.
So it's got 5 grams of edible gold on there, Dean, which is quite, it's 5 grams is a lot of something, isn't it?
Yeah, for
Of
gold,
something
yeah.
weightless like gold, edible gold.
I mean, obviously it's edible, so obviously it's being treated or something, but I'm pretty sure like most heavy metals are toxic if you eat them in high amounts. But
Not to these people, Dean.
no, like they just inhale it, don't they? They snort gold on a regular basis. It's one of those things. I can't imagine someone eats this and goes, "Oh yeah, you can taste that. That spoonful is like $700, and you can taste every cent of that." Can you balls? It just making it up
Yeah,
now.
You can distinguish between all 14 cocoa powders in there.
Yeah, exactly. You just make it work for yourself.
With these things as well, the world's most expensive foods, they all seem to just have truffles put on them. Like,
yeah, is that like a default expensive food then?
Because I know, yeah, just shove some truffles on it. Yeah,
I guess you can't cultivate truffles. No, wait, I'm taking the mushroom truffles again. This,
yeah, that's what, yeah. I think these are mushroom truffles. They've got to be. You're not going to have a chocolate truffle that's expensive, you? Because it's just a chocolate truffle. It's just chocolate, sort of like mashed up and whipped up a bit.
Not that I've been thinking about it, I'm not entirely sure what a truffle is. The confectionery sort. It was just like, I think I made some in the house once, but like from one of those cheap recipe books, I guess. It was just like sort of like melted chocolate whipped up a bit and then with some sprinkles on the outside.
I think that is what it is. I think it's melted chocolate whipped up a bit. I want to tell you something else about this, Dean.
Yeah, please.
So it's £25,000 and it's served with a gold and diamond spoon.
Right.
Which is worth £15,000, and you get to take it away with you.
All right.
So really, it's only worth £10,000. This,
right? So you just paid for a needlessly elaborate spoon.
Yeah. Does that make you like it anymore? So it's actually only $10,000 if you think about it.
I guess that's a little bit better because you pay this money and you have something tangible to keep.
Yeah.
Like if someone gave you, like, here is a plate of like $10,000 in cash. I've lightly sauteed it. I've applied all garlic salt and everything. It's been marinated. It'll actually taste quite nice. Here you go. But I'd rather just had the money. Just bought like a couple of Big Macs. Because when you're sort of eating wealth for the sake of it, it does seem like, oh, this is like this a satire of capitalism now, isn't it? Mm. Well, you've got like at least the spoon is worth something. You got to keep it, so that's sort of better. You could sell that on.
Yeah. Well, you could show it to the neighbours or something, couldn't you?
Yeah, you put it like on your like the breakfast table next to you, like your novelty salt and pepper shaker you got from Ibiza.
Breakfast table. Yes. Do you know? Yeah. I knew you said breakfast table then, but in my mind, I processed it as bedside table.
You put it there as well.
Put it there as well. Put it everywhere. I'm going to be showing it to everybody. When the bailiffs come round and be showing it to them, and they can't have it. It's my wife's name.
It's a kid. If I pay 10 grand for a spoon, I'm not out of my sight, to be honest. Mm. I'm not going to lose that in the washing up.
Have a look at this man, Dean. He's, I think he's the owner of the restaurant.
We're in our 50th year, so we decided to do something exciting as far as desserts. And this is it. We donate the proceeds to a charity.
Well, there we are.
The last time we had it, the mother called and said, I want to make it a memorable Sweet 16 for my daughter. And of course, you know, they can take the spoon back as a memory. When she left and she said, well, Mr. Bruce, let's see if my neighbors can top this one for their daughters.
Now, he was telling that as if that's meant to be a good story. That just sounds horrific.
He pulls a hell of a face at the end.
Yeah, he's got a sort of John Waters meets Vincent Price vibe going on, doesn't he?
He does, very much so, yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, the worst elements of both.
So, the neighbours, to top that, your daughter's friend's mother's come over. And he goes, oh, how was the 16th birthday party? Did you have a nice time? But yes, actually, we went, we spent $25,000 on a single ice cream. Yeah. Top that.
Yeah. Also, I don't like the way we said we donate the proceeds to a charity. That's a bit vague, mate. That's a bit vague.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. What charity? Yeah, that little pause was a bit telling. To a charity. Yeah, that sounds believable.
Vincent Price lookalikes in the local area. Yeah, I bet.
A lot of bail money's gone on that, I bet. Yes. Also, wasn't there that MTV show or something, My Sweet Super Sweet 16?
Yeah.
Which showed, like, you know, I think Charlie Brooker described it once as I think it's an Al Qaeda training video to really hate the West.
The decadent West.
Yeah, it's just like these horrifically entitled, wealthy teenage girls being awful. But most of the time, they seem like they get cars and pop star visits and private jet rides and stuff. Can you imagine if she's in that income bracket, if this is what her mother's spending her on.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, what do you get? Oh, I got a new pony. I got a new Mercedes. What do you got? I got a spoon. You got a spoon?
Yeah, well, a spoon and 10 grams worth of ice cream.
Yeah. That must be, you must be full of your house. No, no, it was a little bowl.
I ate far too much edible gold than a human should eat. Yeah. Very ill.
I'm shit in 40.
Yeah.
I'm 16. There shouldn't be an issue.
My innards are gilded, dear.
I can't go to the airport anymore. Set off every scanner they got.
I'm going to get the glove.
And I'll show them my spoon. And they won't be impressed. It's not an alibi, apparently.
Dean.
Yeah.
I've done some investigative journalism, Dean. I've done my due diligence, listeners.
That's good, Sam. He always does. That's his customer promise to everyone.
And so if you think about it, this was 2007.
Mm.
And you get to keep a $15,000 spoon, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've worked it out. Mm-hmm. And I've found the interest rate, I guess. I found the value of a $15,000 spoon in 2007 compared to now.
Oh, in today's money?
In today's money, yes. That's the way to say what I meant. Thank you, Dean. Thank you,
Dean. What's the problem, son? Right,
I'm a good investigative journalist, but I'm not very good at explaining myself. I'll let the others do that. My words speak for themselves, Dean.
Except they don't. That's literally the point you're making here.
Indeed. So I found out that the value of $15,000 in today's money is $22,450. So you almost break even. It's coming down all the time, this ice cream. It's now only worth $2,500. Is it getting any better to you, Dean? Are you contemplating buying it now? Maybe for your wife's 16th birthday or something like that?
My wife's 16th birthday. I mean, the implications in that, I'm not even going to get into. Is it, at the very least, it suggests I married her before she was 16. And we have two children. I mean, he said, let's not go there, Simon. And he's going there by himself. Simon hasn't said a word. I'm just incriminating my own self. I don't know, because that's the value of the spoon. But would the cost of the ice cream ingredients also, because that's one thing the chef mentioned that he's making it, like,
well, they've gone up, yeah, but I'm thinking you bought this in 2007 and everybody's laughed at you.
Yes.
And now, over time, the value of the spoon itself has meant that you've only really sunk $2,500 on that.
Oh.
Where are you standing now is what I'm asking. Do you think it's better now? Do you think it's more value now? Think of all that edible gold.
I mean, that might still be in your system at this point. There's nothing in your body to digest it, I suppose. But you've still got that, in a sense. It is better value, I guess. So you do sort of, you know, it's almost like an appreciable asset. You've invested in a very strange, long-term, low-interest scheme, which is good, I guess.
Well, I'm going to take it one step further now.
Oh, okay. This journalism knows no bounds.
This $15,000 spoon, being valued at $22,450 today, that's based on the calculation that we're only considering the spoon itself as an item, as an artifact, to be worth $15,000. If the spoon was worth $15,000 because it was made of gold, I've done the calculation on that as well.
Okay.
And I can let you know that the value of gold, $15,000 in gold at 650. I'll start all this again, dude. I've got the last after fuck. I don't even know where I started. So, Bob, this is all staying in. Listeners, I would have edited this out, but I can't even pull it back. Basically, what I'm saying is, if it was made of gold, right, the value of gold has gone up so much that, in fact, it would be now worth today $49,396, that spoon, if it was made of pure gold.
Well, if anything, you're getting double your money back then, aren't you?
So, exactly.
And I think, if we're going to see the photo, there's some diamonds on there too, so Lord knows what they're worth as well.
Well, you've got to stick on at least another tenner on that, Dean.
Actually, let me mention it. 2007,
Yes.
Assuming this was early 2007, that was the same year the big sort of stock market crash, wasn't it?
2008, that was.
No, the year before then. That was exactly when people kept saying, oh, cash for gold started becoming a thing. So if you bought it then, you were investing in gold in just the right time before everyone started hoarding it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes. So, yeah, it's gone up. So it was like $650. That's what it cost, the value of it. The value of 1 ounce of gold was $650. Jesus Christ, this is becoming possible to understand. And it's all my own doing.
You're investing in journalism, Simon.
And that spoon at $650 would have been 2 and a bit ounces. And today, the value of gold is something like £20,000 an ounce.
Yeah, so if anything, you were buying money back then, weren't you? That ice cream.
And you had an ice cream treat to go with it.
Pay yourself twice, two or three times over.
Yeah.
Well, I would buy it then, absolutely. At this rate, I've actually got a solid gold spoon with possible diamond garnish for a bit of flavour. And I've got like at least twice my money back.
Exactly. Get on the time machine, Dean. We'll kick that bloody 16-year-old out of the way and we'll get this ice cream. Yeah. We'll have one each. We'll identify all 14 cocoa powders. We'll never shit again because our guts are filled with gold. And we'll be quids in.
I was 16 year olds who were just like no huddled under a bridge because the revolution happened eventually. They're like, well, I've got my spoon. What have you got? They'd all rely on the spoon to buy bail them out.
They're all under the bridge cooking up heroin on a spoon worth $49,000.
Yeah. They only escaped from the gulag because they dug their way out with the spoon.
What are you going to give it, Dean? Please bring this section to a close.
Oh, no, you've really convinced you talk me around. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 because I still think the ice cream and the ingredients thereof and this edible gold are wild cards I'm not comfortable with. But based on your actual genuine mass, you're actually getting your money back if you're going to keep the spoon. So, yeah, twice over. So it's a bargain. Can't argue.
It is. Doesn't look like a bargain.
No.
All you need is patience, listener. 5 stars from me.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Slow and steady wins the race. Not when it comes to ice cream, though, because it melts.
Exactly. But, yeah, keep the spoon.
Excellent. Elect expensive ice cream sundae in 2007. Oh, fantastic. Here we go. This is a section called Random Wikipedia Article. It's everybody's favourite section.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's me and Dean from earlier. And we're going to be looking at a random Wikipedia article.
Look at a random article, see if we can make sense of it. And I have the con this week, so a random article.
I honestly don't know what's happening with me today, Dean. I can't form sentences. It's like I've been kicked in the head, doesn't it?
It's fine. This age.
Help me, Wikipedia.
My only hope. Okay, 3, 2, 1, random article. Here we go. Norman Brahman, born August 23rd, 1932. An American billionaire car dealer, art collector, and former owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Billionaire art collector. I mean, that's Bond villain for a start, isn't it?
I don't like the sound of him, Dean. I don't like the sound of him at all. We've already done rich American peoples this episode.
Yes.
But we're going to carry on with them.
Yeah, I mean, several times if you count the American election. Egg election,
yeah. Listener, if any of your colleagues in work start talking about the American election, insist on pronouncing it as egg selection.
And ask them which egg they're going to vote for. Just see what happens.
Just to see what happens. You've got to enjoy yourself in work nowadays, in this climate.
Early life education, career, Philadelphia Eagles, politics, philanthropy, personal life. These are the sections you've got.
I'll take personal life first, Dean, for 10.
Yes, and I saw that and I thought, that's telling. Personal life. Brahman is married to Irma Miller. They have 2 daughters, Deborah Weschler and Susie Lusgarten.
Interesting that his daughters have got different surnames to him. Do you think they're married?
I'm going to guess it. Yes, that's like the most obvious explanation. Or disowned him completely. That's entirely possible. But when the personal life is very, very brief, I'm also a little bit obsessed about that. someone so prominent, American billionaire, industrialist, art collector, owner of a massive football team, personal life. I did a thing.
Let's see more about his personal life when we enter the section called Politics, Dean.
Yes. Now, I wonder where this is going to go. Okay. Ronald Reagan nominated Rahman to lead Immigration Naturalization Services in November 1981. I'm going to say that's bad, but okay. In 81, before senatorial hearings began, Rahman withdrew his nomination, citing the need to focus on his business.
Yes, his businesses, which have nothing to do with immigration, naturalization.
Chinny reckon, chinny reckon. He financially supported a recall election against Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Alvarez because of a huge property tax increase and pay hikes to Alvarez's top staffers. On March 15th, 2011.
Property tax increase, probably more
Yeah.
of interest to him than anything else I would have
I
thought.
imagine so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2012, Rahman established political groups to campaign against four incumbent Miami-Dade County commissioners. Is he based in Miami? Because he says he's from Philadelphia. He seems to have some beef with guys in Miami, but oh no, he's in Florida. It's just a random. What a weird. Imagine like if me and you did a podcast about the goings on in Inverness.
We kept trying to meddle in his local politics.
What are they doing? Why? We just got a real beef against the people of Inverness and their local council.
Just kind of spurious reasons to try and recall the council. None of these people are monsters. It's not even near you. Loch Ness has got nothing to do with Inverness. Shut up, monster.
You're all in on it. You're all under the thumb of Big Monster. Under the flipper of Big Monster.
This Easter, do not egg select a monster.
Love you not letting this go. It wasn't even egg select. It was egg let, but he's added more to make it worse.
Rahman was a supporter of Marco Rubio, another considerable asshole, Dean.
Yeah, and was considering spending anywhere between $10 and $25 million in support of his 2016 presidential campaign.
I like that. He was considering
Oh,
it, but
yeah,
did he or did he not? Who knows?
that's worth mentioning in the
Yeah.
Wikipedia article. Yeah. He had a thought about something once. If you're going to that level of granular detail, I want to know what he like. What was he considering for breakfast that morning? Like he had hash browns, but did he think about pancakes? Did he give him a fish out? Come on, if we know all of his intimate thoughts, I want to know all of them. Come on, Wikipedia. Rubio has thanked Brahman for his being a supporter, and Brahman has employed at one time another Marco Rubio's wife.
Oh, there we
But
go. It's nice
the
of
Brahman family's charitable foundation. Sounds all above board. Nothing to worry about there.
how old is this man nowadays, Dean?
Well, he was 38, he was born. He must be pushing
91.
91,
Bloody hell.
Christ.
God, imagine being a 91-year-old billionaire.
Yeah.
I'm still fiddling around with bloody Marco Rubio. Like,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, surely, like you know, I mentioned like the ice cream thing. I know it's a little ridiculous, but have some of that. Go on a couple of
yeah,
those.
exactly. Yeah.
Don't invest in making other people's lives slightly worse just on a regular
Yeah.
basis.
It's
Just,
pure spite at this point, isn't it?
it
Because,
must
like,
be.
everybody in your family for generations are going to be fine. You
Yeah,
are going to be
absolutely.
dead soon. Why is he considering spending between $10 and $25 million on supporting Marco Rubio?
And also, that's not a lot for him. I know, like,
No.
I know technically political donations are sort of contrary, but they're not really in America that you can just pay whatever you want. But yeah, like, so that's also like pocket change for him. Like,
Yeah.
I thought about giving this little squirt some money. Yeah, he thought about giving him some amount of money, but didn't.
Yeah.
But because he's a billionaire, that's worth mentioning. That's important information, apparently.
It's mad. Have you seen like the donations that politicians get and what they're willing to do for that money? They get like barely anything and
Yeah, it's
willing to like just do whatever those people say.
yeah, but it's not even like donations. Like, say, do you want to go on my yacht for a bit?
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Yeah.
I'll do whatever you say.
Yeah.
Really? Are you that cheap? I mean,
They
in
are.
this country, especially, you think people are known for being
Yeah.
really? Is that what you sold us out for?
It's like football tickets and things like that. You're like, fucking hell.
Yeah, like you walk up to a politician and go, "Chewing gum? You got my vote?" It's like. Just give them the time if they ask for it. Like, yeah, thank you. I'll do whatever you say in the Houses of Parliament. Christ.
Tell me more about him, Gene. What's further up the page? As I saw a picture of a car. Why is there a picture of a car there?
Well, it's began his career as a market research analyst for Seagram Distributors in 55. A few years later, he took an executive position at Bargain Town USA, a company owned by his father-in-law. I mean, this is really sort of conforming to type, really, isn't it? Like, it's not what you know, it's who you marry to. The Rishi Sunak approach. He sort of discovered stores, a chain of stores, the Philadelphia area. So yeah, he's based in Philadelphia. He's from there. So why are you so obsessed with army politics? I'm assuming he must have relocated at some point. Otherwise, this is just baffling.
I'm coming around to you now. I do like the way he's just fiddling around in Florida.
Yeah, but also like nothing to do with him at all. Not even just said like why you're so rich in treating other people's life, but almost like I have absolutely no stake in this game whatsoever. I'm literally just being a prick at this
point. I live in Philadelphia and I own the Philadelphia Eagles. We cannot allow property taxes in Florida to go up. We must recall the mayor. Okay, Mr. Billionaire.
I assume there's a reason. There you go. Brahman got a start in the automobile business in 72 when he acquired controlling interest of Sharp Taylor Cadillac in Tampa, Florida. Okay, so right.
Yeah, he does. Yes, okay.
Good. Like,
thank God for that.
That was worrying me a bit. Like, I'm sort of slightly reassured that there's a lot of explanation, but I'm also disappointed that there is one because I was hoping it was just pure nonsense vendetta against Miami politics. Christ.
I don't like Florida. It looks a little bit like a penis. It's rude. It's a rude place. Get that mayor out.
It's objecting to countries because of their geographical shape. God.
Let's have a look at his wife, Dean. How old is his wife? He's 91. How old is his wife, Dean? Emma Miller, let's find her. It doesn't say he's been like, this is his new wife or something like that.
There's a lot of Emma Millers who.
So there's two elderly ladies there and a younger.
I'm going to guess he's not Emma Miller on Instagram.
Oh, let's find out, Dean.
It's 90-year-old billionaire's wife on Instagram account.
See, let's see.
I'm going to guess not. A breakfast news presenter.
They're all breakfast news presenters on Instagram.
Yeah, what? When we look them up, they are. Yeah, that seems to be a strange, I would say curse, but it's sort of an algorithmic outcome we keep falling into.
Very strange.
What's the
Come on, Dean, I need to know his wife.
Norman Brahman and Miller. I'll look up.
I want to see a picture of him, actually. You know, I've lost interest in his wife. There she is.
Yeah.
She's younger than him, but she's not.
Yeah, not obscenely so.
Yeah, not obscenely so. Yeah, he looks quite sprightly for 91, you've got to say.
Yeah, I don't know where this photo was taken. But
That's a bit more like him now. Yeah.
90-ish,
yeah. Yeah, he looks a bit more like 91 now.
I think I was expecting the big rotund billionaire type. He's more like the wiry sort, the sort of hint of Mr. Burns.
Looks a bit like Paul Whitehouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul Whitehouse mixed with Nicholas Parkinson.
Yes, he does.
Parsons, that's it. That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
There we go.
What a fabulous way to end this section on this episode.
Looking at an old man's face.
And his wife, for no reason.
Yeah. So, Norman Brahman, this article, what are you going to think? I'm tempted to be generous towards it. The article itself is fairly thorough and gives a good grounding of him. So, I'll give the article a 4, I think. No, 3, I take a point off because it did answer why he's obsessed with Miami politics.
So, you're taking a point off for educating us?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't want to know that. And again, not the article compiler's fault, but I contain multitudes.
I'm going to give it a 4 as well. It's a good article overall, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Would have liked to have had a picture of him in there so I didn't have to go to Instagram.
Good point. A picture of a car, though.
He's got a picture of a car.
Yeah.
It's just a car that sits in one of his showrooms.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, so this is the strange Florida thing. No license plate on the front, only on the back.
Oh, that's interesting.